Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the Church today. The Lutheran Church in Cambodia is the topic of today's show with your host, Pastor John Ehlers.
Hello and welcome to this edition of The Lutheran Inquisitor. I'm your host, John Ehlers, pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Orpington, Kent, a southeastern suburb of London. I'd like to encourage you to come along to our worship services. We gather for the divine service every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. If you don't live near Orpington, then why not go to our website, lutheran.co.uk, click on the directory button and find the nearest Lutheran congregation to where you live, and go along and attend a service. We'd like to also thank you for your prayers and your financial support, for without them, Lutheran Radio UK would not be able to continue. So thank you very much for all your prayers and all your support. Today on the Lutheran Inquisitor, we'd like to welcome to LRUK the president of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Cambodia, President Vanarath Chim. We welcome you, and we wish you God's richest blessings, and it's lovely to have you with us.
Yes, thank you.
President Chim, can you tell us a little bit about the history of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Cambodia?
Well, I shall begin the history of Lutheran Church Cambodia by way of people would know about Cambodia has gone through the killing fields. That is very, very bad history in Cambodia, and people, those who have survived from the killing fields, still gone through a post-traumatic life, where they still question why this has happened and caused about 3 million people lost their life 35 years ago in 1975. And also back to religious affair, that Cambodia is under Buddhism. 95% of the population is Buddhist, out of 16 million in population. While I see Christianity growth is very small, and I like to use the term minority among the minority. We are even referring to Lutheran Church in Cambodia, which we just started 5 years ago. And the history of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Cambodia started in 2010. But prior to the birth of the Evangelical Lutheran Church Cambodia, ELCC, we have received the teaching of the Lutheran through the translated material under the project of the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. And the first book has been was translated Luther's Small Catechism. In 2005, there was a first seminar on the book where I see that Lutheran was a start sowing seed into the heart of Cambodian people and the pastors who are serving in ministry in those years. And then it continued to grow. And 2 years later, I was received the teaching through the book of the Augsburg Confession, where I was translated the book into my Cambodian language called Khmer. And from there, I see the need of training other pastor about what it means to be Lutheran, grace alone, Christ alone, and scripture alone, faith alone. This is a very powerful message. And bringing law and gospel to Cambodian people is very important, especially the church leader in those days, 7 years ago. So we formed an institution called the Theological Institute called Luther Institute of South Asia, which you can short of LISA. It started the first class in 2007. I remember July, that's the first class, and we have 69 students who are interested to enroll. But during the time frame and the traveling, I think half of the 69 was dropped out, and we had 38. And it gone through about 3.5 year programs till they graduate in 2010 in May. So we come up the love of the teaching of the LISA and the Lutherans Nizam of those days, and then we formed the church in 2010.
You talk about this LISA and its training. Is this full-time, part-time, or how regularly do folks get together for these training sessions?
I would say it is part-time, but the better term we call it a continuing education for those pastors who are already gone through the mission field, and the women that we term our the deaconesses where they have received some sort of trainings with other groups. But what I see a uniqueness of the Lisa teaching is very systematic in curriculums, and it meet often is every 2 months we spend 1 week for the class, and we have professor from Canada, North America, and few from Australia to have teaching. So I do most of the main translation for the class, both in class teaching and the material that we have to translate into Khmer. It's a lot of time, and thank the Lord for the grace that I can.
May I ask you about your story? How did you become a Christian? How did you become a pastor? And then, how did you become the president of the ELCC? Were you originally a Buddhist?
Yeah, I was originally Buddhist, but finding the answer to life, what is the hope for me? But back to my personal testimony in 1999, I was 19 years old at the time, 18 and 19. That was I was converted to Christianity by the gospel theme, Jesus theme, based on the gospel loop, and even that showing Christ was crucified. That just struck my heart from the gospel that I became Christian at the time, and Christ put the faith to me, and I confessed Him to be my Lord and Savior. And a few months later, I baptized. But I have to keep my faith for 3 months hiding from people because a lot of persecution in my communities. But after 3 months then, I received baptism. I opened up the Christian and committed to study Bible school as part-time. Those days I was in high school too. But God called me to be a full-time student in one of the Bible institute in southwest of Cambodia under the Presbyterian Bible Presbyterian teaching. And a year later, I was called and get a scholarship to study the Bible college in Singapore. So I studied there for 3.5 years, come back to serve. But the question, back to the question about how I became Lutheran, is feeling that I was hired by Lutheran Heritage Foundation to be a part-time translator of the book of the Oxford Confession. And I enjoyed reading it, translated it. And God used that to call me. What does it mean to be a grace, salvation by grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone? Yeah, and then I kind of my conversion to Lutheran. So I want to spread this this testimony to other people to see what is the unique of Lutheranism. So we put into teaching of Lisa, and I'm very pleased in the call. In 2010, in May, I think I finished my training under Lisa, 3.5 years program. Then the board called me to be the president of the church, and we had to form a board of director. But I feel I was too young to be president at the time, and they really gave me encouragement, and the Lord called me there. And now I've been serving for 5 years as a president, the first term.
How long is your term?
5 years.
You were telling us about the training that began in 2007, and that in 2010, the ELCC was formed. But what's happened since 2010?
I think now we have, the Lord have us to grow in a kind of members now. Up to now, we have 6,000 members, and we have 35 congregations and 15 churches registered. And the Lord bless us with 5 schools this year called Karuna School, which I see very strong to have the community reach out to Christ through Lutheran education. So we run a Christian primary school from grade 1 to grade 6, and a kindergarten for this year to combine with the school. And now we have our Concordia Institute. We just get permission from the government to train the theological program. And teacher training, we use the Concordia Institute of Cambodia, CIC. So we still plan to start up a very official and organized structure how we can run this CI and CIC. And we need help from our Lutheran partners, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and Lutheran Church Canada for this program to train a church leader for the futures.
So you are training both pastors and school teachers to work in that mission?
Correct, yeah. And this coming June, I think, under the partner of signing agreement between ELC with the Christ Lutheran School, I would say Karuna School Cambodia and Christ Lutheran School, we have a partnership that next month we will have the teacher seminar or 65 teachers coming to attend, and we give them training and a recognized certificate for the certified teacher for our school. So I think it's very potential to produce our teachers from our church to have the school in the communities.
How are your schools and churches being accepted in society, especially when you are the minority of the minorities in a Buddhist society? It sounds like they're actually quite accepting of the work that you're doing.
I think the first time we see great challenges from community where we Christian start a school, so they did not want to send their children to study in our school at first because they're afraid that we might convert them to Christianity. But I see that they learn the value, the moral, and the gospel of Christ, how we care, how we love the communities. They really now accept our teaching, and they want to send their kid to school. And now we have 300 children for three schools, and they want to have more class next year. So I think it's blessings. And thank the Lord for this, have explained the people of Cambodia. I think on top of that, they want to belong to a community where they also want to support the schools by themselves, not just get results from the foreign fund or source to have the school. So, and they also have to pay a little school fee, about from 1.25 cent to $5 to maintain the school fee and the program. So I think I really encourage to see that they take ownership and participation to our school projects.
When it comes to witnessing to a Buddhist, how is the church's witness accepted by them? How do you present the gospel to them?
I think this is a time for people to hear the gospel. They've gone through a very hard life and suffering during the killing fields. And they need something which is the answer to their life. And I believe that Christ is the answer. I know that the uniqueness of the Lutheran preaching is based on the law and the gospel. And sometimes you don't need to preach the law because people have struck by the law. And they want to hear the gospel, and they are very open now. Compared to 15 years ago, very restricted, very persecuted by the community itself. But now it's very open. They want to hear what is uniqueness of the Christianity, unique love of Christianity to the community, to care about their life who have gone through the suffering lives after the killing fields 35 years ago.
You also mentioned that the government is currently much more receptive to the presentation of the gospel. Can you tell us about that and some of the very interesting things you've been involved with recently?
Yeah, I think last week we have a hosted program by Cambodian National TV to ask me to speak about the Christianity to education and contribution from our Christian perspective to national development in terms of health program and education sector. So I think they are very, very favorable now, very open. They see that the Christianity has a very unique love to social development, not just materialism, but I'm not talking about the money that we are having them, but the care that God given to us and how we share to those who are really in need, not only need in education and development, but the need of the spiritual need that they have gone through. So I think they are very, very open, very favored. And also our national constitution is accepted to the other faith beside Buddhism. Though they stated Buddhism is the national religion, but no objection to other faiths or belief. So they have the freedom to believe.
You also have a radio program, the Lutheran Hour, which is broadcast throughout the nation. Can you tell us about this ministry?
I think it's a blessing that we are able to broadcast 1 hour a day and 5 days a week, reaching out to 2 million people a day listening to our program. And the challenge is this is the live broadcasting. So the theme of the program called Answers to Life. So we preach the gospel to people of Cambodia. And also we receive some questions if they have about the faith and about what we are preaching on radio. I think it's very widespread program. And I see that a lot of people cannot afford to have TV in their home, but they at least 1% have one radio through their cell phone, their smartphone, and their home radio. So, and people will still favor and culturally pay more attention to listening to radio than watching TV. I believe it.
It sounds like the church is very involved in education, proclaiming the gospel, having a radio outreach. But what else is the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Cambodia involved in?
I think we also have health projects, providing health education, awareness of the partner of the Concordia Welfare Education Foundation called Quest in Cambodia, and they partner with us to do health training program and provide water filters for those communities who are rare to the clean water and wells, and also a toilet projects for communities. So traditionally they use like we call bush toilet. Anywhere you find surrounded in your environment, your small bush, and you do your business there. But now, I think have promote a clean life, livelihood in terms of providing their bathroom and toilet. So we also use this as the means to share the gospel to people, to connect to the community in the village, the areas that we are serving.
You mentioned that you've done a lot of translation work. Is that still going on? And is that an important work of your church body?
Yeah, I think getting a resource for our pastor, I mean Lutheran resource, to our national language is the main project that we are doing. I call it Twin Project, along with the theological training for our leaders. And now we are involved in the translation of the whole Book of Concord. And we committed to finish before 2017 to celebrate the final year of Reformation. But we hope to do it by next year, because we have finished most of the books, the Augsburg Confession, Formula of Concord, Luther's Small Catechism, the Light Catechism, the Augsburg Confession. I think we have quite a few books to finish by next year. And we also do the project called LSB Lutheran Service Book. But the uniqueness is we try to do two melodies. You guys know about, you folk knows about the song which is famous for Luther, Dr. Luther's A Mighty Fortress Is Our Lord. Yeah, I think it's very, very good to hear singing, but to ask Cambodian Christian to sing is quite hard. So we come up with our local melodies.
So people might ask, how is Lutheranism, which is often seen as European or American, translate in Cambodia? Is this a problem?
I had to agree in that, but, from my experience of serving with the community, they want to have our local contextualized as Lutheran. But we have to be aware on what is the most element of the Lutheranism in terms of liturgy and divine service, rather than you throw out the baby and take the dirty water. So we have to be careful at first and study well enough what is the unique element of the Lutheran teaching and Lutheran liturgy before you can change. But I don't think we are changing anything except the melody that we go through to that. So to have Cambodian singing and celebrating and praise the Lord in our culture. And some hymns sound even better if we sing our own melodies.
You are closely associated with a number of young, growing churches in Southeast Asia. Can you tell us a little bit about your ties with them?
I think along with that, we have close partner in heart-to-heart with a Lutheran church in Thailand, TCLC, call it Thailand Concordia Lutheran Church. So I think we have close net, and we share very unique in terms of culture and very close language and a project in terms of training the leaders and translation. We are go like shoulder to shoulder. So we care each other what can be learned and from Thailand and Cambodia in terms of like a Lutheran liturgy, you know, how we do it together. And this coming June, we want to have a worship seminar so Cambodian and Thailand can talk and how we can do it. I think it's a very, very sharing and close unique of the culture between Thailand and Cambodia in terms of Lutheran. Even the history, I believe it.
You are also interested in the International Lutheran Council and strengthening your ties with other ILC churches around the world. Can you share with us your thoughts regarding this organization?
I will send a message to our Lutheran partner and to a member of ILC, International Lutheran Council. We started 5 years ago as very isolated, very lonely, and we found our partner, Lutheran Church of Canada, who recognized our first our church body. And last September, we have the protocol agreement mission signed between three churches, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and President Harrison, and Lutheran Church Canada, and President Bakby, and myself, on my visit to U.S. last September. So I'm looking forward if we can be a members to ILC. I think very a great blessing to us that we grow our partner and have support and pray each other to the project of the church grows. We are small, but we have great hope to that.
As you look to the future, what do you see the main challenges to be for the ELCC? And what are the real opportunities for the ELCC?
I think the challenge is the economic, how we can sustain, self-sustain in our church for the next few years. But we have a plan to come up with what we call economic community development, which is a self-sustained project by providing the school education, charging fee to support the mission, microfinance, which are trying to get income to have the church, but also to support the local mission in that area. And agriculture projects, we want to have our pastor to grow rice so that it can sell and more yielding, you know, like, yeah, we're still working close with Karana Foundation. Reverend Jeff Evler is chairman of that, and then we are working close to how to help the church, ELCC, our church ELCC, to be self-sustained for the next few years. And also, we also see the challenge of how we can form our own training, national training institute, like Concordia Theological Institute and Concordia Institute of Cambodia, and help train our leaders. So we need partners, we need professors, and funding to do that projects very soon. And also the international school that we are praying for that. We look to work on that too. So sharing a message to help the folk to pray for us.
Is there anything else you'd like to say to our listeners? Do you have any encouragement for us?
I really encourage that to our folks who are listening to this program that we are so blessed to hear the Lutheran gospel in the time that we are small. Sometimes we feel that they are reachable, but God brings the message to us through your prayer, your contribution, your visitation is a blessing to us. So be partner with us in the gospel, where you can say you invest your mission work by supporting our national church and project to help the gospel reach out to Cambodian Christian, which is very minority at the moment. So I really thankful to our partners, to those who have put prayers and support to our projects in Cambodia. And may the Lord bless you and keep you in His grace.
President Vanarath Chim, we'd like to thank you for being our guest, and we pray God's richest blessings upon you and the ELCC and the work that you are doing. Please extend our greetings to our brothers and sisters in Christ in Cambodia.
Thank you for listening to the Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.